Welcome to Binge Breakthrough, the podcast designed to help you finally break through the barriers that keep you stuck feeling out of control around food. I'm Master Certified Coach Jane Pilger, and I want you to know that no matter how long you've been struggling or what you've tried, food freedom is possible, and I'm here to show you how. After years of therapy, eating disorders treatment, restrictive diets, and reading all the books, I was still stuck in the on-again, off-again cycle of restricting and binging until I was able to see it all from a new perspective that changed everything. Each week, I will share the strategies, tools, and mindset that allowed me to overcome my decades-long battle with binge eating. Your journey to body trust starts now. Let's dive in. Hello, trusted listener. Welcome to Binge Breakthrough. I consider you a trusted listener because I trust that you are listening to this podcast for a reason. I trust that you're going to hear something today that is insightful and impactful on your journey with food. So today I wanted to share some lessons learned from watching a particular season of the show Survivor. I often watch TV and movies and read books, and I think about the underlying message that's in the show or the episode or the book. I like to think about what's happening here. How can I apply this to my life? What is speaking to me? What is inspirational to me? And whether I'm watching something that is very serious, whether it's something that's really just for entertainment, I find there are so many things we can gain for ourselves, just these little sparks of motivation or inspiration, really anywhere. And I found that in watching this season of Survivor. So if you are not familiar with Survivor, you haven't heard about it, this is a show that has been on TV for many, many, many years and many, many, many seasons. And right now, basically what happens is on Netflix will, they will release maybe two episodes or two seasons at a time of Survivor, just past episodes. Sometimes it's years and years and years ago, and sometimes it's something a little bit more recent. And I love watching the show Survivor while I am on my trainer inside. It's kind of an entertainment while I exercise. So the most current season that I've been watching is Gen X versus Millennials. And so when they start, basically the premise is they bring a bunch of people, all strangers, out to some remote place where there's really nothing else out there. And they have these teams and they have to survive. They're out there for, I don't know, it's something like 40 days. And the theme of the show is outwit, outlast, outplay, I believe. And there are challenges. There are physical challenges. There are puzzle challenges. There's, you know, kind of teamwork. And at the end of the day, they kind of vote each other off one by one. And the last person standing ends up winning $1 million. So that's the theme if you haven't seen the show Survivor. Now, if you have watched Survivor, you might think that I'm going to be talking about certain aspects of this show, like the lack of food. I mean, they literally are out there for 40 days, often with very little food. Sometimes they are given some food, or they end up, maybe they're on an island in this particular season. They're on an island, so they are able to fish. They eat a lot of coconuts, things that are available on the land. But in general, they really do not eat very much. And over the course, those people who make it to the end, over the course of 40 days, you watch them literally not eat much. You watch them lose a significant amount of weight. And you kind of like see this process. So there are quite a few spoken and unspoken messages about food and body on the show. And so if you're familiar with the show, you might be thinking, oh, I bet she's going to talk about that. And actually, that's not the case. For this particular, the thing that has really come up for me around this season that I really wanted to share is different. It's really kind of a story of transformation, for sure. Now, I do want to tell you, if you like Survivor, if this is something that you think, oh, I'm going to go on Netflix, I'm going to watch this show, there are going to be some spoilers in this episode. Now, I'm not going to tell you who won, but I'm going to be naming some people who got very far along in the show. So if you think, I might want to watch the show, I don't want to hear what happens, or I don't want you to spoil anything for me, you might want to save this podcast and come back to it later. If you don't care, if you have no, you certainly do not need to watch the show in order to benefit from what I'm about to share. I just want to give you a little spoiler alert. Okay, so today I watched the finale of the Survivor Gen X versus Millennials. And I wanted to, as I was watching it all season, as I've been watching, I've been thinking, oh, wow, this is so fascinating and I really want to share. And as I watched the finale today, I thought, I really wanted to reflect about this on the podcast. So in this season, I've been inspired by one participant in particular. But as I was listening this morning to the speeches of the final three, as they were talking about they're talking to the people who are going to be making the final vote for who's going to win the $1 million. And as I listened to this, I knew I wanted to reflect on all of this here on the podcast. So I often talk a lot about the importance of your identity as an eater. Who are you as an eater? So many people think of themselves as, well, I'm just a binger. I am somebody who can't control myself around food. It's just who I am. I can't handle certain things. And so I eat. When things get overwhelming, I'm a person who does XYZ. It's like, this is my identity. This was true for me for so long. I identified as somebody who was out of control around food, somebody who either ate perfectly or absolutely not, somebody who was either on or off with my eating. Now, if you want to hear more about this concept, you can check out episode 24, Your Identity as an Eater, for more about this. But the reason that I bring this up and the reason that I'm inspired to share kind of what I saw in this show was it was literally watching transformations in identity in certain participants during the season. So there was one participant in particular, his name is David. And when he started the show, he experienced a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. You could just see it in the way that he acted, in the way that he interacted. There was a lot of noise up in his head. He was constantly worried that people were thinking about him, that they were talking about him, that they were going to get him out. He was afraid of the birds. He was afraid of the water. So many fears. And by the end, he was literally a different person. He turned into this person who had this confidence in himself. He had overcome, he faced so many of his fears and realized, wow, I actually am capable of so much more than I thought. I wrote this down actually while I was writing. I have this pad of paper where if I get ideas or something comes to me while I am on the bike, I have this pad of paper so I can make notes. And I'm sitting here looking at this piece of paper that's kind of, you know, when a piece of paper gets wet and then it dries, it's a little wrinkly and it looks very different than before it ever got wet. I am staring at this piece of paper that I can tell, I can see where my hand hit the paper when I was all sweaty. And I wrote down a quote that David shared several episodes ago. And he was talking a little bit about his transformation and what had changed for him. And he was saying that I have learned to tamp down the voice that says I can't, and to start listening to the voice that says, I can. And when he said that, I was like, oh, that is so good. I am writing that down. Now, if you listen to last week's episode, I talked about that voice in our head that says, I can't do this. I can't handle this. I can't. That I can't does create so much fear and so much anxiety, because if we think we can't, then we really are kind of powerless. We are going to have this fear because we think that there's so much that we cannot do. And so I loved what he shared. I am tamping down the voice that says, I can't. It doesn't mean that voice went away. It's still there, but he is learning how to turn the volume down and to start listening to the other voice that says, I can. And the more he does that, the more he proves that for himself, then he creates that evidence. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode about how to respond when you think I can't, listen to that episode. And you can see, if you want to see, what does it look like for somebody to kind of go from I can't to I can? You just might watch this season of Survivor. It's on Netflix, Gen X versus Millennials. David is the person I'm talking about. And if you do decide to watch it and you haven't seen it, you might watch these first few episodes and be like, whoa, this guy's going to change. I never would guess. Based on what I see, I would predict he was going to be one of the first people voted out. Well, spoiler alert, he's not. There's another character, not character, participant in this season. Her name is Hannah. She has a very similar story. She started out with a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, worry, uncertainty. There was a particular challenge where, in this case, it was teams, and the teams were uneven, and so somebody had to sit out of the challenge. She decided, I'll be the one to sit out of the challenge. She is watching her team participate in a challenge, and she had a panic attack just watching. She wasn't even participating in this challenge. She had so much stress and so much anxiety about this challenge and who might win and what was going to happen that it created a panic attack. And the medical had to come in and take care of her. And she was like, oh, this is not unfamiliar. I have panic attacks. But again, if you watch this season and you watch the transformation in Hannah, by the end, she is sharing her transformation in this season over these 39 days. And what she talked about was how she learned resilience. That being there, being on that show, created resilience for her. She learned to become confident in her decisions. And what she learned was that she was capable of so much more than she realized. You could see the difference in the two of them from the start to the finish 40 days later. Now there's another participant, Ken. He talks about his fears and what he had to overcome each day to be on the show. Now, you didn't see his fears so much on the show over the time as you saw in David and Hannah. With David and Hannah, you literally could see it. From day one to the end, the difference in them, you could see it so clearly. Now, Ken, what he talked about was more what was happening on the inside and what he had to overcome each day to be on the show. He talked about he was an introvert. Being around people he wasn't familiar with was not easy for him. He had set his life up on the outside world to literally be living by himself off the grid because he had so much fear and anxiety and not wanting to interact with people that he didn't know. Now, what was really interesting for me about Ken was he had two really key focal points that got him through this 40 days. His daughter was his why. He was there for his daughter. That was the thing that got him going. When things were hard, he remembered his commitment to his daughter. And that's what got him past his challenging moments. The other thing that really led him were his values: trust, loyalty, and hard work. These values and his daughter, all of these things were his compass, and they helped him move forward. Now we have the other person who was in the finals, a guy named Adam. He was there for his mother. His why was to be there for his mom and to bring happiness and connection to his family while his mom was undergoing cancer treatments. He had this really strong why. So all of them had their own transformation through the course of the show, and they each had their own reason behind it. There wasn't just one thing that did it for them. But there is one thing that was really key for them, all of them, and it was getting out of their comfort zone and pushing themselves beyond what they thought was possible, repeatedly, day after day. They created confidence through their commitment to be there, to be on that show. They each had their reasons, what they were doing, why they were there. And it was that commitment to be there and learning about themselves with each day and each challenge. They realized they were capable of so much more than they ever thought was possible. Now, to have a transformation like this is possible for anyone. But to do this, you have to get out of your comfort zone. But here's what I want to know. Is this really your comfort zone? Is your comfort zone actually comfortable? Or is it just familiar? I've been thinking a lot about this topic, and we're going to dive deeper into this next week. But for now, just look for transformation stories all around you. Whether it's a TV show, a movie, a book, or somebody you know that has done something remarkable, notice where you feel inspired. Notice when you get the sense of, wow, I would love to do that. Or maybe you think, if they can do it, maybe I can too. Wow, look at what they did. I wonder what might be possible for me. So I used to participate in a sport called cyclocross. Now, cyclocross is kind of this combination where you ride a bike and there are some barriers. There are like obstacles, like kind of maybe there's jumps where you have to get off the bike, pick it up, jump over obstacles. Maybe there might be sand. There might be other things where you have to get off the bike and run. It's kind of like a cross between mountain biking and it's not really road biking, but you're not on like a full suspension bike. But there are intentionally a lot of obstacles. And when I would be on my cyclocross bike, I had a lot of fear that I would fall. And I had a friend who also did cyclocross, and she would encourage me. She would say, let's go ride together. Let's go do this. We might go out to a course, and she would say, let's go ride, follow me. And I would follow her. And as I followed her, I would do things on my bike that I would never do on my own. On my own, I would be like, oh no, that's too scary. I can't do that. I could never do that. But as she was doing it, I would think to myself, oh, if she can do it, maybe I can do it too. Or I'm like, she's showing me the way. She's showing me right there. I can watch her. If she can do it, maybe I can do it too. You can find that for yourself. Here's what I know to be true. We do not often get over our fears and our insecurities on our own. On our own, we usually magnify them and we make them worse. Or we just avoid them entirely, which doesn't help them. or we magnify them. I'm pretty sure that David, Hannah, and Ken would have all continued with their fear and anxiety had they not had the experience of Survivor to show them that something else was possible. If you want to make a change, it's important to surround yourself with other people who are also wanting to change. Others who can show you what's possible and believe in you and give you strength and courage when you might not be able to find it on your own. It's not bad or wrong if you cannot find that strength and courage on your own. We are not meant to do life on our own. We're meant to surround ourselves with other people. The thing that's so beautiful is we do this inside Cultivate, which is my group program. It's this group of women who are transforming their lives and making changes that they didn't think were possible. When I think about these women and some of these women who have been in this group for quite some time, and I think about where they started and where they are now, wow, it's so amazing. It's so impactful. If you are ready to make your own transformation with your relationship with food, I would love to guide you through it. There are so many different ways to go about this. There is not a one-size-fits-all approach. But if you haven't been able to do it on your own, there's a very good reason. All right, if you're not following me on Substack already, Substack is a new place. I'm hanging out, providing lots of value and content, and it's a great place to connect with me and discover the various options for support and guidance on your own journey with food. So you can find me over there under the Peaceful Eater at janepilger.substack.com. All right, that's what I have for you this week. Next week, we're going to dive into this topic. Is it comfortable or is it just familiar? I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to Binge Breakthrough. You can find the show notes and any resources mentioned at bingebreakthrough.com. If you like this episode, subscribe to have future episodes delivered to you each Wednesday. And remember, your 5-star rating and review will help others discover these life-changing concepts. See you next week.